The hour having arrived, I'm going to call the Committee on Taxes to order. And we do have a quorum. And we have minutes of March 5th, 2020. Representative Les Lagarde moves approval of the minutes of March 5th, 2020. Any discussion on those minutes? If not, I'm going to call for the vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. The March 5th, 2020 minutes are approved. Members, today is a big day in Minnesota. It's Minnesota Township Day. The second Tuesday of March, 1,781 townships around the state are going to their annual meetings, and I teach government. And when we get to townships, I always talk about how townships are the most grassroots form of government, where the most direct democracy, where you can, people actually can go today and not only vote for who their supervisors will be, but get to directly vote on the budget. I mean, this is grassroots. And so on behalf of the tax committee, I want to thank all township officials, everyone attending those township board meetings, town hall meetings today, and thank you for the great work that you do on behalf of rural Minnesota and areas around the state. So recognize Minnesota Township Day and our township officers and townships around the state. Well, with that, we have the first bill on the agenda, House File 30. We're going to refer bills to division first. And so it's not on the agenda, but in your packets, you've got two bills that came to taxes that should have gone to the Property and Local Tax Division. And speaking of Minnesota Township Day, the first bill is House File 4105 that deals with township aid. And so does someone want to move 4105 to be re-referred to the Property and Local Tax Division? Representative Carlson moves House File 4105 to be re-referred to the Property and Local Tax Division. We have to take them one by one. Any discussion on that? Not. I'm going to call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail. The next one is House File 4144, and that's the public finance bill that is authored by your chair. I wanted to say that before we vote. So we can re-refer House File. I'm going to move to re-refer House File 4144 to the Property and Local Tax Division. Any discussion on that?
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Do we have a roll call?
Roll call. Oh, thank you very much. The roll call has been withdrawn. All those, any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Motion does prevail. Thank you very much. All right, so we're going to move to House File 3547. We've got Representative Tapke here. And would someone care to...
So move, Mr. Chairman.
All right, and Chair Davids, this bill is being re-referred to Ways and Means. Is that all right? Okay, so Chair Davids moves that House File 3547 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Very good. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
And there is a DE4 amendment that should be in members' packet. And so Representative Les Lagarde moves the DE4 amendment. Representative Tapke, anything we need to know about this before we put this on?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a bill that has some urgency behind it for implementing the new system that precedes Minlars. And we're working really hard with the Senate to keep concurrent language going through both bodies. And so that's why we have a DE4 today.
Okay. So any further discussion on DE4 amendment? Now I'm going to call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The DE4, the motion does prevail. The DE4 amendment is adopted. All right, to the bill as amended, Representative Tapke.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. In the 2019 special session in the transportation bill, it was passed a section to change from the Minlar system to the VTRS system. And so that was a big change that's been happening, and there are a lot of components that lead into that. And one of those is the registration taxes for vehicles, so the vehicle registration tax system. And in that bill, it set up a task force that began meeting this summer, and we finished up our work in February of this year. But that task force was had Representative Petersburg, Representative Baker, Representative Elkins, myself, and then Senators Kiffmeyer, Jasinski, Senator Kent, and Senator Dibble, as well as a variety of industry experts. So the Dealers Association, deputy registrars were well represented, and the agencies that are impacted by the vehicle registration system. And so the goal of the task force was to look at the future of the Minnesota vehicle registration taxes and where we should go with that, and how that should be implemented, and how, if it needs to be changed with the new VITRIS system coming on board, which is now, I believe, called MinDrive. And with that, the task force came, looked at a lot of different options, whether we should switch the registration tax to a flat fee across the board, whether it should be based on value, whether it should be based on age, and decided that it, with our limited time and ability to get things done, it was a unanimous decision by the task force to make two main changes to fix some big problems with the system and how it works. And so the first change was to currently the registration tax is based on 1.25% of the value of the vehicle depreciated over 10 years. And so that base value is a really difficult value to pinpoint and to clarify for all vehicles, because it can be different for the same vehicle, can be different in different parts of the state because of destination fees and different things like that. And so we decided at that point to change from using a base value to using the MSRP, which is just the number that shows up on the sticker on the side of a vehicle. And so that's what we're going to base the registration tax on in this bill. The second main change is that we're removing the hold harmless provision that is in statute today. And that was what our goal was to remove the hold harmless piece of statute, because there are many vehicles that were misidentified within the system and as a base value. And so there's a the most egregious example is that there's a Ford F-150 that is valued at $2. And so there's a one Ford F-150 in the state that gets valued at $2, and there's no mechanism with the hold harmless in it that allowed you to change that, to fix that error in the system. And so what we're doing in this bill is also fixing that hold harmless to allow error corrections in the bill. And so so those are the two main things that came out of the task force that we were looking at. And the task force goal was to maintain relative neutrality in the amount of revenue that came in. And so the task force recommendations over 10 years had an $8.9 million or a 1% change in the amount of revenue that came in. It was a 1% negative reduction in revenue that came in via the vehicle registration taxes. And so there, since the last, since we were in Transportation Committee, some major concerns have come forward between cities, townships, and counties that that 1% reduction would mean a pretty drastic change in some of the money that flows through the HUTD to those local communities. And so we're trying to get closer to a zero change. And so we're doing that by in our bill by going from 1.25% of the value for the registration tax to 1.28. Still represents a reduction overall in 10 years, but it's a very slight, less than 0.1% reduction. So that's where we're at today. And the DE4 that we discussed has technical changes and work to conform with what the Senate. So we're working closely with Senator Kiffmeyer on this bill, and we're trying to get it. The goal was to have a bill out and signed by March 1st. And so we've been working on that. We're obviously not going to meet that March 1st goal. But the Fast Company, who is doing all the programming of the new vehicle registration system, needs to have clarity and push for understanding exactly how they program everything. So that's the urgency behind the bill.
Thank you very much. And the revenue estimate does show about in 2021, a $460,000 revenue loss, and then into the next biennium, about $1.1 million revenue loss. So, Representative Petersburg.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Tapke. The one thing that concerns me a little bit is that the DE4 actually does divert a little bit from what the what the task force recommendation was and from what the Transportation Committee heard. During the committee task force hearing, we wanted to be a little bit careful about changing some of the structures on funding and the registration tax because we wanted Vitris to roll out without any major changes. And so the recommendation from the task force was just really threefold. One was to remove the hold harmless. One was to eliminate the destination charge, which varied from place to place, and go strictly with the Monrovia sticker, which is a sticker on the car price for the car price, and leave it as simple as possible. This does make some of the changes. Can you share with us why these changes were made compared to what the task force agreed to?
Representative Tapke.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Petersburg. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you entirely there, Representative Petersburg. The goal was to keep it as close to what the task force had recommended. And this is a change that we have discussed with multiple folks, and this does not require any programming changes. And so there were other ways that we could have gotten the overall revenue to stay as close to zero as possible. With that, but they would have required programming changes, and so that's what we're absolutely trying to avoid doing and changing how the FAST system has to be programmed. And so this is just a rate change within the system, so that does not cause programming and coding issues and errors to come up to elongate that process. So you're incredibly correct on that. And so the reason why we made the change, as I stated before, was because significant concern came up between cities and counties and townships that 1% reduction over 10 years would have caused some major reductions, especially for small cities. They would have seen a $10,000 to $20,000 reduction in small cities and what they get just on that 1% change that flows through the system. And so we're trying to keep those small cities in greater Minnesota, especially hold them as harmless as possible through this change.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Tapke. A couple of things. One, quite a few times you mentioned we did this and we did that. Who's the we? I guess you're, as the author, usually it's up to you, and certainly I'm sure you've talked this over with your Senate counterpart. But the other question is wouldn't this have been better to have rolled this out first and then made the change on a different bill?
Representative Tapke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Petersburg. The we is, yes, working closely with Senator Kiffmeyer, and so we're trying to keep everything the same. She, like I said, would like to see a $10 to $13 that change in the base that happens, and that adds to much more regressive taxes in this. And this, by going from 1.25 to 1.28, maintains the progressivity in our vehicle registration tax system. So that is there. And no, I don't think it's appropriate to have it as a separate bill. This is something that if we were to make major changes in how things are rolling forward, then yes, those we've been really avoiding making major changes in how the vehicle registration tax works and moves forward with things for a budget cycle and for a budget year. So we've been avoiding doing anything major. But all this change does is, so if the base value as it calculated today, to get to the MSRP, basically you're removing the destination fee, the destination tax on that vehicle. And so that's usually a $2,000, it averages across the state, but the destination fee is about $2,000. And so that's a $2,000 reduction in what that 1.25% is based off of. And so the switching it from 1.25 to 1.28% just maintains about the same amount of registration tax that's paid on that vehicle. So it's keeping it even.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I won't belabor the issue. As you are correct, this is something that needs to get done quickly in order for Vitris to keep moving forward and roll out smoothly. And so, we do need to move forward with this. But I am disappointed that it didn't stay as clean as it was earlier. And the reality is that whatever we increase the fees, there are going to be people out there that are going to be paying more. And there are going to be some that are paying less. So this is just a challenge that I think we have to go through. But I'm disappointed that we couldn't have kept it simple and clean. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Joaquin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to thank Representative Tabke for taking on something. We saw the problem last year, especially with that truck that's valued at $2. And working with across the aisle with Senator Kiffmeyer to try to get this done and through as quickly as possible. And I think it was a creative way to make the adjustment so neither the cities and townships nor the customers are going to see that big swing in taxes. So thank you very much.
Any other? Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Tabke, so for the people who are going to see somewhat of a reduction in their tab fees or what, that's going to be good. But we're going to also have some people who see an increase from what I'm hearing. So walk me through who's going to pay more and how much more are they going to pay? Because those are the folks that you and I are going to hear from.
Representative Tabke.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. So there is no one, one thing that I should have mentioned on here is that there is no one that is going to pay more or less. Everyone who owns a vehicle before the effective date of this bill is not going to change. So the vehicle that you own today, your registration tax is not going to change on that vehicle. So if you buy a vehicle new or used after the effective date on the registration on this bill, then that is where it will change. So it is only moving forward. So every current vehicle will stay exactly the same as it is today. It will follow the same depreciation schedule. Everything will stay the same there. This is only for vehicles that are moving forward. And as I said before, the average destination charge on a vehicle is around $2,000. So if you're in a location that doesn't have that has a less than $2,000 destination charge, you might be your tax may be a little bit larger than where you're at if you bought a vehicle before, but it's a 0.03% change, so it's going to be dollars and not hundreds of dollars change.
Anyone else? Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Tabke, how does this compare to what our neighboring states do?
Representative Tabke.
Mr. Chair and Representative Erickson, that is a fantastic question, and that's what we talked about in the task force meetings for a long time. We did a lot of discussion about it, and the fact of the matter is that many, many states do handle registration taxes very differently, and so it's I can't tell you. I can get you the report that everyone has. So there's a nice, happy, thick report, and I remember that it is in here somewhere, but I'm not going to try and find it. But I can get you the page number in the report that identifies and talks about how other states do it based on some of them, as I said earlier, are based on a flat fee that you just get charged the same thing for years. Some are based on weight. Some are based on value. And the task force came to a unanimous decision that sticking generally with our system as it is today is the way to move forward.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So how about trucking companies, some of whom are licensed in Wisconsin? What's the impact there?
Representative Tabke.
I will ask Mr. Burris to come down and help me answer that question just to make sure that I'm 100% correct on this. If that is all right, Mr. Chair.
That is perfectly all right. Mr. Burris, if you would identify yourself and welcome to the community. A community. To the committee. It is Township Day. I got still Township Day.
Mr. Chair and members, Matt Burris with House Research. Mr. Chair and members, the changes that are proposed in this bill only go to passenger vehicles, so there's no change on the registration tax structure for trucks, trailers, a bunch of other types of vehicles that are also registered and subject to a registration tax that's calculated in various ways, but separately from the calculation formula that you see here.
Thank you. Very good. Thank you. Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is kind of a follow-up to Representative Fabian's question. So obviously it's not going to affect vehicles that have already been registered, but moving forward, so kind of what would be that cutoff of those that are going to be, if you put a value on it, are we talking a Toyota? Are we talking a Cadillac? I mean, what's the valuation of those that will be seeing that into the future?
Representative Tabke.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Swazinski. It is really difficult to answer your question because the changes are not based on whether you're getting a $25,000 car or an $85,000 car. The changes are based on going from the way the base value is currently calculated to just using the MSRP. There are a lot of different variables that are in there that cause that to change. And the biggest one is that destination fee. And so that destination charge on there is different depending on what dealership you're at, what part of the state you're at, where that vehicle comes from. So that's a widely variable number. And so it's really difficult to give you that. But it averages, like I said, about $2,000 per vehicle is what that destination charge is. And so that is getting pulled out so that we can have a standardized uniform number across the fleet so that we that the deputy registrars and other folks have a much easier way of calculating and a much more standardized way of calculating where that registration tax comes from and is based off of.
Anyone else from the committee? If not, is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify on House File 3547 as amended? If not, Representative Tapke, any closing words?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, for your time and committee members, and I appreciate your vote on this.
Very good. And who moved? So we Representative Davids then moves House File 3547 to be re-referred to the as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means. All right, I'm going to call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail, and House File 3547 on its way to the Ways and Means Committee. Representative Tapke, thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Next bill up is House File 3496. Representative Joachim, if you would care to move your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hello, members. Good morning. Thank you for hearing House File 3496. This bill is pretty simple.
And Representative, do you want to move your bill?
Oh, sorry, that would make sense. I would like to move House File 3496 for further consideration in the Tax Committee.
Very good. Please proceed.
Thank you, members. This bill is pretty simple. It requires the Commissioner of Revenue to prepare a report on what it would take to provide a way for Minnesotans to file their Minnesota state income tax online for free, to look at what other states are doing, ways to simplify what we're doing. The Department of Revenue would prepare the report that would include a process that could include a process where vendor capability, security, and accessibility is looked at. Currently, members can use certain tax preparation products to file online for free if they meet a certain income requirement. This report would take a look at what it would cost the state of Minnesota to enter into a public-private partnership with those same vendors to provide all Minnesotans with that same service. Since the majority of Minnesotans are filing their taxes electronically, I've had a constituent contact me as why they're not able to do that without fees or having to buy a package from a vendor. That they find filing electronically quicker, easier, and has less room for errors. It also provides for easier audits and most importantly, increased security by keeping the federal and state tax linked online electronically. So the bill appropriates $175,000 to fulfill this task and requires the report by January 15th of next year. So if we're going to do something, we have time to look at the report and decide if we want to move forward with anything. This is a project I embarked upon a few years ago with a former Department of Revenue Assistant Commissioner Terry Steenblock, who's since retired. Like I said, it's a simple bill requiring a simple report that would make a lot of Minnesotans' lives a little bit easier. I do have Cindy Rowley, Assistant Commissioner for the Department of Revenue here, I believe. I have another person here to answer any technical questions that you might have about putting this report together.
Very good. Thank you. Members, any questions of the author or from the department that you've got a question? Did you want to bring up your testifier then?
I think he's just here.
Okay.
If there's any questions for folks on how they put the report together.
So, I know one goal of this committee is to try to make our tax system simpler and when you file, cheaper, hopefully. And, last year's tax bill increased those who will elect to do the standard deduction up to about 92%. So that's kind of the simpler, maybe cheaper, but this would also kind of help in that regard also. So I think that kind of goes hand in hand with what we did last year in simplifying things.
Thank you.
Anything, any members? Anyone from the audience who would like to testify on House File 3496?
Mr. Chair, I think Revenue wants to come down.
Very, very good.
Oh, yes. Please do.
Yeah. All right.
A little, we have a little commercial plug as well.
All right. So if you would identify yourself, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Robert Doty, and I am also an assistant commissioner with the Minnesota Department of Revenue. I am responsible for tax policy and public engagement. I would like to take a few minutes to provide some additional information about the importance of electronic filing and accessibility to free filing options. We appreciate that the committee is discussing options for more Minnesotans to electronically file their state returns. Again this year, we're encouraging all Minnesotans to electronically file. Filing electronically and choosing direct deposit is by far the most convenient way to get your refund. Last year, over 90% of taxpayers filed their taxes electronically. Three out of four Minnesota income tax filers choose direct deposit. Some benefits of electronic filing include it is a safe and secure method for taxpayers to share income information. It allows for increased accuracy in completing returns. It is usually much easier than other methods, and people who e-file generally get faster refunds. The federal government manages a free file program in partnership with software vendors to provide free e-filing of individual federal returns for taxpayers that meet certain criteria. Many software vendors also allow free filing of state returns for taxpayers who qualify. Over 60% of Minnesotans may qualify to file their state tax return for free. Some of these taxpayers use professional preparers to file their return. This includes returns prepared by VITA and TCE sites. However, over 780,000 qualifying Minnesotans didn't use a preparer and didn't take advantage of free filing options last year. The Department of Revenue has increased outreach and education to taxpayers and tax professionals about free file programs and how to access these programs. We have seen an increase in the number of Minnesotans filing their state tax returns for free in the past year. Minnesotans can see a list of free software and the eligibility requirements on our website by searching free file. This year, there are seven vendors that offer free filing for Minnesota state returns. There are free filing products available for active military service members, taxpayers qualifying for certain credits, such as the earned income tax credit, or taxpayers with adjusted gross income of less than $69,000. We encourage taxpayers to use our site exclusively to get information about the different programs available. It is the best way to ensure access to truly free filing options for federal and state returns for those that qualify. In addition to free software for filing, there are also over 200 free tax preparation sites open across the state that are staffed with IRS certified volunteers ready to help Minnesotans file their taxes. You can find an interactive map of locations on our website, again by searching free file. VITA, AARP sites, and tax software providers are important partners in providing free access and working to ensure a smooth filing system for Minnesota taxpayers. Thank you, Representative Joachim, for bringing your bill. If the legislature determines that free e-filing of state returns should be more broadly available, the department agrees that a study of our customers, software vendors, and tax preparer community is a good first step. One of Revenue's key strategies is to talk with our customers. A study would allow us to determine what taxpayers need and want before making any recommended changes. We would be able to undertake the study as outlined in the bill. And with that, I thank you for your time and entertain any questions.
Mr. Doty, thank you so much. Chair Davids.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt, and to Assistant Commissioner Doty. I think the author's bill is a good bill, but my question is the fiscal note or revenue note, $175,000. It's not that I'm tight. I just don't like to spend that much money. Couldn't you just do this?
Mr. Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Davids. I think the $175,000 is for the additional cost to prepare the report, for providing the research necessary, searching the vendors. There's a lot of work that would go into that. And by the way, and that's about an average for a report of this type for the agency.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair. Chairman. Was it Carl Snell?
Carl Snell.
Oh, okay. there's two Carls.
Okay.
My question is, I think you said 700 and some thousand taxpayers don't avail themselves of the electronic filing.
Correct.
And maybe the study will answer my question, but do you have any idea now as to what kind of population groups aren't accessing it? Is it senior citizens that maybe don't have a history of computer literacy, or is it low-income families? Do you have any feel as you sit there today?
Mr. Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative. I think the study would help us with that. I have a feeling that it may be across various groups, but we would have to better determine that.
Okay, I look forward to the study because I have a feeling that it may be people for one reason or another that either don't have computer literacy or don't have access or simply choose to do paper pencil.
Sure.
Anyone else? Any questions? Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So to the Department of Revenue, I'm just reading this handout from the American Coalition for Taxpayer Rights, and though they support the proposal, they have concerns about the increasing operating costs, and they would like to be involved. Are you going to seek their input as you develop this system, and are you planning for future increases in operational costs because of differences that will occur in the tax code?
Mr. Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative. As we embark on the study, we will be reaching out to all partners involved, and that would include this coalition as well. So I think that I can safely say that. At this point, the money that we're seeking is, that would be a one-time cost. And I, at this point, until we do the study, we would not know what the future costs may be.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Doty, does that mean that you need more FTEs to do to figure out the survey results? Is that the issue?
Mr. Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative. As I said earlier, the $175,000 really is the average cost for preparing a report of this type. There would be FTEs needed to do the research, to compile the data, write the report, all of that information.
Thank you.
Members, any other questions?
Yeah.
If not, Representative Joachim, any closing comments?
I just want to thank members for the discussion and the questions. We ask Minnesotans to file tax returns with us every year. The report will help us figure out ways to make it just a little bit more secure and easier for folks. And I ask for your support.
Thank you very much. Representative Davids.
Just for the record, we don't ask that they file them. We demand that they file them.
Representative Joachim moves to lay over House File 3496 for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Doty, thank you. So to Morrow, members, we're off. The day tax committee, I'm giving you the day off because we worked so hard today. We went over, well, no, we didn't go over time today. We worked very hard today. But we're giving this committee over to Representative Carlson A. in the Property Tax Division. And then on Thursday, there is one bill, Representative Leslie Gard's volunteer drivers bill. There's some fix-up we need to do there. So that's kind of the agenda for the rest of the week. So members, enjoy Minnesota Township Day, and we are adjourned.